Good afternoon and welcome to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 and the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in the heart of Champa Bay. The fans have been coming down here for 29 years, and in fact, on the 29th of November, happens to be my birthday, there'll be a big bash down here to celebrate 29 years at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, where the fans have been coming down for 29 years, and they just got recognized the best sports bar in the Bay and the best wings in the Bay for 2021. I'm Mike Ricker of the St. Pete Sports Connection. Each and every Saturday, provide a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. As I said, right down here at Ferg's, where all day long you'll have college football action, 95 television strong. Come on down and watch your favorite team. Just ask them to turn that over to whatever your respective fan base is. You've got the watch parties for Auburn. You got Alabama, Michigan, and the University of Iowa Hawkeyes, ranked number 2 in the country. And I'll go over all the lineups today. Hey, I want to recognize our affiliates. They'll kick on about 106, and that's the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and it's powered by RadioSt.Pete.com. And that's WTAN, AM 1340, 106.1 FM, WZHR AM 1400, 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, and 102.3 FM. And we're reaching Pinellas, Hillsborough, and Pasco counties now, and I'm very pleased. Had a little meeting up there yesterday, Tantalk Radio in Clearwater. We're going to continue to improve the production of this St. Pete Sports Connection and make sure we cover everything in the in Champa Bay, from the peewees to the preps to the pros for you. Right now, as I do each and every Saturday, we'll do the Fergs from the front row, take a look back at a week in sports, and unfortunately, quiet down here today. We were looking forward to a nice series if we would have gotten by the Boston Red Sox, but still a heck of a season for the Tampa Bay Rays. 100 wins brought us a lot of enjoyment for 6 months. They're a very young club, and it looks like we'll be able to keep everybody intact for the most part, and that's an accomplishment with the Rays, and looking forward to 2022. But today, right now, it's a little bit later in the day, it's the Red Sox and Astros. And I tell you one thing, Alex, I'm torn on this topic. Grab a mic for a second. We'll talk a little baseball. I've got my baseball expert. You know, who to pull for now in the American League? I'm pulling for the Red Sox because it makes the Rays' accomplishment even you know, they beat them all season long, and the Rays would have advanced. So I don't like the cheaters anyway, the Houston Astros. So I'm going with the Boston Red Sox. That's tough for me to do. I grew up a Yankee fan, and I'm a converted Rays fan. What's your perspective on that? Is there legitimacy in my jumping on in the Red Sox bandwagon?
I think you're absolutely right. The Red Sox all the way. We cannot have the Astros in the World Series.
Oh, my God. Talk about a statement. But, man, is that team loaded with bats and arms.
They can play. Yes, they can.
Okay. Well, your Dodgers. What's your you feeling good about them taking the Braves down? I mean, they've got the second best record in baseball. There's a lot of expectation on the Dodgers. Look at how much money they spent, and the Braves. That'd be a great story. However, I don't know. It's the Dodgers.
You know, I absolutely love the Dodgers.
Back to back's tough.
Right, but baseball's a game where little guys can beat big guys. So
that's why I love that game.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know.
Well, I know you weren't disappointed in the Giants-Dodgers, but that was an epic a game, I tell you what.
I watched every inning of that game. It was a fantastic ball game.
All right, my friend. Well, you were going to bring the St. Pete Hike boys down.
That's correct.
Okay, you get a hold of the coach, and we'll go from there, and I'll throw you on from time to time and talk baseball because you're my resident expert now.
Thank you so much.
All right, my man. Yeah, it's a lot better getting perspective from someone that coaches – the kids, and he has in California and in Florida. So that's my perspective from there. Let's talk college football today. A lot of great games across the country. Let's just go with the local right now. Tulsa, South Florida. Cincinnati, Central Florida. Florida, LSU. Some other games of note. Texas, Oklahoma State. After that tough loss to Texas last week against Oklahoma. North Carolina, Miami, Florida. I mentioned this. I know people tired of it, but they're number two in the country, and I actually smell upset alert. I'm an Iowa Hawkeye, but they play Purdue. Georgia-Kentucky's the marquee game today at the SEC. Number one ranked Georgia. You know, they're not familiar in that spot, number one. And Kentucky with Mark Stoops is very solid. I know Mark. He played football at the University of Iowa. He has done a superb job of converting that basketball program into a football fan base as well. And looking forward to that game. And that right now they've got Georgia throttling Kentucky, but you never know. And that's say that to Alabama after their loss to Texas A&M. And they take on Mississippi State. Mississippi State's 17.5-point dog, but that should be a tough contest as well. So those are some of the college matchups. Not a big week in college football from a top 25 perspective. Arkansas-Auburn, that should be a very tough game. I don't really see anything that jumps off the page to me. Tomorrow in the NFL, of course, the Bucs successful on Thursday Night Football. That Tom Brady, I'm not gonna regurgitate what everybody in the world already knows, what an impressive, unbelievable football player we are blessed to have in Champa Bay. And he just continues to keep getting better. I've been reading a lot of what he did in this date going back to when he came into the league, and it's phenomenal the things that he has accomplished. And it's not unheard of for back-to-back Super Bowl championships for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we will beat Champa Bay. We were close getting the Rays there, and, of course, the Lightning, they already have two games in the books, one lost in the opener, and then they beat the Red Wings on Friday night. And then tonight they're in Washington against the Capitals. Rams, Giants, Dolphins, Jaguars. Big Central Division, always the old black and blue. Packers and Bears, going back to the old school of Curly Lambeau and, of course, George Halas, the founder of the NFL. I'll share some great stories one of these days about that era, because I studied it and was fortunate to meet one of the Halases, and I'm a Packer fan, been to Lambeau. A lot of history there. Even if you're not a Packers or Bears fan, you're an NFL fan. It's superb history that I'll share with everybody. Bengals and Lions, Colts, Texans, Chiefs, Washington, the Vikings and the Panthers, Ravens and Chargers, the Browns and Cardinals. I tell you what, the Cardinals are the surprise of the year. They're undefeated. Broncos, Raiders. We'll see how the Raiders rebound after the tumultuous time they've had of late with the John Gruden issue. And I would love to talk about that topic, but we're a positive perspective from the Peewees, the Preps, to the Pros. So I won't go there today. Cowboys, Patriots, there's their loyal Red Sox fan. Steelers, Seahawks, and the Bills and Titans. And that's your NFL lineup. And keep in mind, tomorrow, down here at Ferg's, 95 television. Come on down, and they'll sit you in front of your fan base. Big fan base for the Philadelphia Eagles, who we took care of on Thursday night, so we don't have to worry about their obnoxious carcasses. I'm just kidding you. They're passionate carcasses coming down here. And then you got the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, they look right now as chalk to win the Super Bowl. What they did to the reeling Kansas City Chiefs the other night just blew me away. I've been to Arrowhead probably two dozen times. That's just unheard of what they did the other night. And that's a team that needs to circle the wagons. They don't have a defense, and Patrick Mahomes is making un-Patrick Mahomes errors. But as Bucks fans, you don't really care about that. And I'm kind of on the Bucks bandwagon and the Rays. Don't get upset. This is what I do for a living now down here in Champa Bay. Couldn't be happier. But at 64 years of age, I'm not going to change my allegiance. I'm still a diehard Packer fan, and will be till they throw dirt on me. But I love what's happening to this area and the rest of the world and America looking at Champa Bay as a model of success, and it certainly is. And I'm going to start a Rowdies report, too. I feel bad the Rowdies are making a run, and I do a two-minute sports update each and every day on all of our affiliates and on Sunshine 96.7 FM. Just gives you a little snapshot of what's going on in the world of sport. And I keep thinking, geez, I'm missing something, and it's a Rowdy. So for your soccer fans, my apologies, and I'll start inserting that as well. Now, believe it or not, here in the in mid-October, golf is alive and kicking, even after the Ryder Cup. and in our little On the Tee segment, the SAS Championship, and it's near and dear to my heart. My niece works for a SAS company. They're a major player up in Cary, North Carolina, and it's the Champions Tour, and Scott Parel holds a one-stroke lead right now. And if you have the Golf Channel, give it a watch. It's just beautiful up there right now with the leaves changing and just a cool area. And one of my favorites, he is actually in the hunt. JD, John Daly, Clearwater can claim him. His son went to high school in Clearwater, and he's now playing at his daddy's alma mater down in Arkansas for the Razorbacks. And little John, so that's a great story. And in Vegas, imagine Vegas and betting and golf. The CJ Cup in Vegas at Summit, it has some notables right now. A name if you're not a real golf fanatic, Keith Mitchell has a four-stroke lead. But there's some major players out there, and they're probably playing major at the tables. And I'm sure lefty Phil Mickelson, who loves gambling. But right now, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, and Rory McIlroy are also in the hunt. So it's worth a watch. It's on NBC later today. And that's a little recap of what's going on. As I mentioned, down here, every Bucks game, there's a watch party. Every Lightning game, there's a watch party. And it's an electric environment. And an absolute blast, and I tell you what, it's certainly worth your time to come down. You want to get that stadium feel, and it is well worth the trip down here. So let's go over the show today. We got quite a show, a lot of diversity here on the St. Pete Sports Connection, and we got a great announcement. Just did a partnership, closed it this morning, and with an organization out of Orlando, and it's the Hoovy organization. We're launching video channels. They're going to be the parent company of the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're going to be melding our radio broadcast, and I said broadcast. We're gonna expand that reach. I met with radio partners in Clearwater yesterday. We will expand our radio productions, our video productions. You'll see an upgrade in our social media, our website, and involvement in Tampa Bay. And I couldn't be more excited to bring this group of professionals. And the old man, they didn't kick me out the door. I'll still be doing the shows, out beating the streets, knocking on your door, getting support for all the positive stories that exist, and getting the St. Pete Sports Connection rocking and rolling. And we now are the proud owners of Tampa Bay Sports Connection and Tampa Bay Sports Connection. So we're very fortunate, and I want to thank Mark Ferguson and Joe Berdo, two of the guys that believed in me a year ago. And a lot has happened, and we're going to continue to rock and roll and bring you, as I said, positive stories from the area. But we're going to start out in about, do I have any Pirates in the house? I got the Boca Ciega Pirates. And they are my, I guess I've adopted this team. I love their colors. I love the kids that play there. I love their coach. He's a cool cat. And they played their butts off last night in a hard-hitting contest. I actually went for the first time to a Florida high school game last night against Northeast. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And what I was really impressed, and one of the mothers down here, was that the support of the community, the fan base. I was very impressed coming from Iowa. We don't have much going on in Iowa. You know that, Coach. Friday nights are what it's all about. So when I walked on to their field last night, I looked over, and typically teams don't travel, you know. It's Northeast fans, and I had my girlfriend who's a bogey Pirate. She's an alum, and I thought, I don't have that many people. And I looked to the left. Those stands are jammed. And I know it was senior night, and you seniors deserve that. But I had a ball. I mean, I had a blast, and I've seen pros, college, you name it. But I felt like I was back in Iowa when I had Friday Night Live, and we were covering all of the all the games across the state. So why don't you grab that microphone, Coach? And I met your family. I had already met your three little ones and your lovely bride. But I, for some reason, I wanted to make sure I didn't screw up your last name, so your mom hacked on me.
Right.
So I pulled up your Facebook post, and I saw the pictures of your mother and everybody, and I'm walking down. I wanted to see a team come out at halftime, and I see this striking lady, and I go, I mean, she probably thought I was a creeper. Tap her on the shoulder. I said, are you the coach's mother? She looked like, who the hell are you? I said, yeah, I knew it was you. Lovely woman.
Yes, yeah, she's great.
And that was your pops, right?
Yep, my dad was there.
And that was your brother?
No, that's my uncle.
Oh, that's your uncle.
Flew from Grand Rapids, came down.
He said he had listened to our last interview.
Yeah.
He didn't hammer me about butchering your name.
I'll have to talk to him about that.
Yeah. So anyway, great game last night, senior night. I know those are special moments for everybody. And they're emotional. I mean, reality starts to kick into you guys that there's life after football. Sometimes can be tough, but great fan base you have there too.
Yeah, we had a great crowd at the game.
Is that typical game, or was it because of the seniors?
Well, we've had good crowds every home game. Yeah, we've got a lot of support this year.
You know, when you guys went down, I thought, I got to get the hell out of here. I'm a bad penny. I come to my first game, and they're getting beat, man, and I'm thinking, and she's grabbed my arm, you're not going anywhere. I said, well, I don't want to hex them.
Well, it couldn't have been a worse start, right? They scored on the...
I was walking in then. I'm like, oh, my God. She said, what's that? I said, not good for our team.
Yeah, scored on the first play, and then we muffed the kickoff, and they got it back. So it was a terrible start.
For them. So I missed that. They scored on the first play?
First play of the game.
Well, that's the way to be resilient, fellas, because it's easy to get down when you First play.
Yeah.
Long bomb, run.
Run. Kickoff. 60-yard touchdown run.
Where are the DBs at?
Yeah.
How many DBs we got here? DB?
We got one.
Come on, man.
And I told these guys, we got to start fast. And before I knew it, it was 13-0. They didn't listen.
They had some speed, too, though.
No, they're a good football team.
Yeah that was a – I will say this. I've watched thousands of high school football games. I loved that game. That was hard-hitting. And I love the resilience. The play I liked, and I finally went up in the stands. Most of the game I was on the fence. I thought, well, I'll go up and get a perspective. And there's this lady screaming. You know how it goes. It's probably one of your moms. When the quarterback, the kid that we had down here.
Connor.
Yeah, he's rolling to the right, and it looks like he's going to get sacked. And she's screaming, throw the ball. And I'm thinking, I don't think he's going to get the ball off. That was a hell of a throw. And a great catch, and that was a momentum, momentum play there.
Yeah, he made a couple really big throws.
Who was the kid on the other end?
Was it the one where he rolled back?
When he rolled back, it was about a 35-yard pass.
That was right here, Tyreek. Yeah.
My man, that was a great play. And way to be patient, you know he's going to be able to get the ball to you, right? Yeah, that was a great play. I think that was a lot of mighty mo there.
Oh, yes, very much. Yeah, we needed that one.
All right, so... You know, I want to talk about negative things, but your loss to Largo, that wasn't a district game, though, right?
No, it wasn't a district game, but that was a tough loss.
Now, how many games do you have left in the district?
We got two more district games left. Next two games are district games.
You still in the hunt?
We're number one in the district.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're undefeated district play.
Where do I find that information? I've been trying to dig around.
You know, Max Preps usually has
Max
it.
Preps?
Yep.
That's where I go to get your lineup. I can't believe... You guys probably never even seen one. I'm old school. I like paper. I was looking for a program last night, and they look at me like, you are old, man. Program? You got a phone? I'm like, you got a phone? I may not know how to use it.
Right.
But, so that's how I looked up everybody's names and numbers. So who do you play next?
We play Seminole. Seminole High School.
They tough?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
When Largo beat you, did you go over to Marcus and give him a bad time? You know, he played at the University of Iowa, the head coach.
Oh, no, I didn't give him a bad time. That's a good football team.
Is it?
That was a really good defense. And we had our opportunities. We just we didn't capitalize.
Now, I know you'd like to think that your mom and everybody came down to watch you play, but they came down for the 5-year-old birthday party, didn't they?
Well, yeah, they came down for that, too.
All right, why don't we... take the microphone, and why don't you just introduce me to who we've got here today.
All right, well, down here at the end, we have our defensive tackle, Anthony Alexander.
Hello, Anthony.
Next to him, wide receiver, Tariq Jones.
Great play.
Defensive end, DeMonte Gifford, who had the best game of his life.
You played your tail off.
Yes, he did.
My man, he's only a junior, but Rico Freeman had a good game, man.
Yeah,
excellent game.
Yeah, he did. Had a big block punt for us.
That was huge.
Yeah.
And I kept saying that my girlfriend, I go, Rico's my man. Because he's the one, remember I asked him, I said, now, do you got a girlfriend? He looks at me, goes, that's not for public information.
Right.
And I'm thinking, what he really means is, shut your old mouth. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I said, now I like you.
This is Rashad Hunt, plays corner for us. Had two big pass deflections.
That's a tough – that's a – you're a great athlete. You're playing corner because
–
yeah, it definitely is. I don't care at the NFL level, college, high school. You gotta be a great athlete to play corner. You're out there by yourself.
Yeah.
I played it 100 years ago.
And then Marion Raymond plays linebacker for us.
Mario Raymond. I like that name too. So when you have seniors night, and you've been through many of them, it's even, you know, it's emotional for the parents, and the kids don't get as, you know, well, you won when you go to college. I remember my son got his last college game on a senior day. The old man's out there, 50-yard line, trying to act like he's still tough, you know, and my son's looking at me, goes, do not do it. And the tear starts to come down. I go, I've been watching you for 14 years play football, and this is your last game.
Yeah, I think it's more emotional for the parents.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I still hear about my senior night. I didn't hug my mom. She still talks to me about it.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not making any errors with your mother on the name. Great family.
Yeah.
But you didn't hug your mom on senior night?
I was focused on the game.
That's sad, fellas, isn't it?
Hug their mom. Didn't
even
hug my mom.
Don't ever let them forget that one.
She won't let me forget. I hear it every year.
Didn't hug mom on seniors night.
I was focused. You know how it is.
Are you the baby in the family?
I'm the oldest. I have one sister.
Well, set a precedent.
I know.
You made sure all these guys did their hugs, didn't you?
Yeah, I talked to them about it. I told them to hug their mom.
Don't make the mistake that the coach made. Well, yeah, those are emotional nights, but the next two games are district games. When's your last home game? Because I'm coming to all of them.
Our next game is our homecoming, and it's our last home game.
Oh, what's homecoming? I'm going to talk to the old alum, not old, alum, into coming, Brandy. And you met Brandy the last time you were here.
Yeah.
This young lady will sing, now, I'm not going to say it's going to be great, the Pirates fight song.
We are the Pirates, the mighty, mighty Pirates.
Who does that?
Where we go. Hey, you know, it's the old Boca Ciega alma mater of Boca Ciega alma mater. Sternly tender, ever true. You know, those things get drilled in your head.
Do they still sing that?
In high school.
These guys don't have a clue. They know you're singing something from 1920.
Oh, shut up. I'm not that old. All right. So I want to know, what are the songs? Who's going to sing it for me?
No, I guarantee you, you won't get one vowel out of their mouths.
What is your alma mater song, then?
They don't know. They may not have one now.
We got to bring it back.
Who cares? They won.
All right, I'm getting over to the high school now.
Oh, here you go, fellas.
We're going to get something going on.
I opened it up. Here we got alum. Comes, gun, one. Try to change anything. Turn it back 50 years. Now, I will say this, and this is a serious note. They said, I talked to one of the band people. They said they used to have 80 members in the band. Now they're down to 17. That's sad. They said a lot of it was because of COVID. Is that a fact?
Yeah, some of it, but...
We did have a very large band back then. Absolutely.
Well, no, I want
to... It's one of the greatest football teams around.
You should have been there last night. It was a great game. Great environment. I got a problem, though. I got a major problem. No popcorn in the concession stand.
Really? I didn't know
that. They don't have popcorn.
Well,
I'm all fired up to watch my fellas get the popcorn, sit at the 50-yard line. No corn.
I had no idea.
Do you want me to contribute popcorn?
Yeah.
It's the band people.
Yeah, it is.
And I gave them a bad time. I used to go around to all the schools in the state of Iowa and do concession cuisine, and I would do a report on the concession stands.
Yeah.
So we got to talk to the girls.
I'll talk to them.
Yeah, popcorn.
You got it.
All right, you want to put the mic in front of the fellas? And
sure, I'll pass it down here then.
Oh, he's shaking. Like, I'm not talking. Well, young man, you know, all seniors, right?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite memory of the last couple of years playing football for Boca Ciega? You got a favorite or a game that you played that really resonates number one in your mind?
I think my best game so far this season was versus St. Pete. And I don't know. I don't know. Every game is fun to me, really. Yeah, every game gets better and better. Last night was a great moment. Everything was just great.
Well, I would tell you as an outsider, it looked like you guys were. Well, it didn't look like you were having fun first half. But I could tell, you know, and I got right behind you to make sure you weren't dropping any superlatives. But anyway, I could see you guys were focused after going down. Yeah. And then I heard you at halftime, and I think a lot of that has to be you're still having fun. You know you got a job to do.
Sir.
You're down, and my goofy girlfriend says, "Hey, did Coach see?" I go, "He's behind at half. You think he cares if I'm here or not? He's got to get this team turned around," and he did. And you still had fun doing it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. The energy was great all night. I just love having big plays after big plays and coming out on top.
There were some big plays last night. Yeah, some big plays. Hand the microphone now to Big Play last night. And I was very impressed. That's got to be one of your favorite plays. What is it, about 40-yard pass? Yeah, it was more than that. By the time he scrambled, like 30 back, and that lady's hollering at him, "Throw the ball." I'm like, "You better get rid of it, youngster," and he got it, and a great reception.
Yes, it was. Well, what happened was, is like, as I came in motion and everything, I looked back, and I seen that he got in trouble. And I was like, okay, so he most likely going to come back my way. I just ran up the field, made sure he was able to see me, told him, throw it. He threw it. I caught it, and I just made my moves. Where we needed to go.
Very impressed. Too bad you're not quick. You got some great quicks, youngster. But what I like, and that shows senior leadership, going back to the ball, knowing that your quarterback's in trouble. Any wide receiver that knows that knows what they're doing, and I commend you on that. Now, that was a great play, but what's your favorite memory looking back now?
I'll probably say Countryside game, because I had a kick return, a punt return.
For touchdown?
Yes.
Wow.
And I was just having fun that game.
They weren't. You had a touchdown for a kickoff and a punt return?
Yes.
My man. You run track?
Yes.
Good. That's my favorite sport. I want to make sure. You need to run track. We'll get you out there if you're not. What do you, 100 meters?
I run 100 to 200 meters, 4x1, 400 meters, and a 4x4.
400? Nobody wants to run that. I'm coming to watch you run track. Really?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, this young man had a great game last night, too. I'm sure there's others that you have great memories, but that was a great game, and that was a hard-hitting game, and I applaud you last night. Yes. That quarterback doesn't want to know your name, and they want to see you again.
I never want to see me again.
Oh, you were in his face all night. Between you and Rico, that guy's had bad memories last night.
Yes, sir.
So, what do you think one of your favorite memories of
I already know what my favorite is. So, Lakewood game, Rico blocked the punt, right? So, I seen it bounce in the air. I was like, oh, yeah, I can get this. And what happened was it bounced, and then it bounced right back to me, and I scored.
How you were moving in it?
Yep.
How far did you have to run?
Like 10 yards.
I was going to say, were you one of those big guys that got gassed? If you got gassed up 10 yards, coach going to make you do a few more sprints. That's a great memory, too.
But the bad thing about that is I don't know how to celebrate. So, yeah. Kind of made a fool out of myself. But it's
okay. Who cares, man? You scored. You don't get to score that often.
No, I don't.
I don't care if you made a fool out of yourself. You fell down flat on your face. A touchdown's a touchdown.
Yes, sir.
And it probably came in a great moment, too.
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations. Coach, pass it on to these young men. Cornerback, you probably got a lot of memories, and good and bad. I know my son will have a pick, and then next thing a guy go long on him and be like, but you got to be resilient as a cornerback. You got to forget that last play, correct?
Right.
All right, so you had a great game last night. I saw a couple of your deflections. Let's talk about your favorite memory.
I would say our number one, his touchdown.
His touchdown?
No, number one, Andre Hall.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because that gave us a lot of momentum with that touchdown.
Sure. Personally, the best thing that you think you remember doing?
I think my deflection.
Have you had a pick six in your career?
No, never.
You know, my son played for, he won a state championship, played collegiately for 4 years, and he never had a pick six. And they went at him a lot, and you would think, but it's, and a lot of times, if you're doing your job, they don't go your direction. People don't understand that.
All right.
They'll say, well, they're not going. He hasn't really played a great game. Yeah, he's played a great game. You're covering the guys, and the quarterback doesn't even want to go there, and the coach is saying, don't go that direction. All right, young man. Well, two more, and you guys make the playoffs, right?
All right.
All right, pass it down to this patient young man. All right, last night, best memory last night and then in your career.
Last night, probably when I made the tackle on the sideline.
You made the tackle on the sideline?
Yes, sir. It was like a big hit.
I remember that hit. Is that when the kid got hurt?
Well, I slung him down on the sideline.
Yeah, I saw that. I even reacted to that. Nice hit. What's your favorite memory as far as total in your career?
Probably when I returned a punt. It was like a third down punt, and he punted it, and it was like, what was it? Well, nobody knew he was going to punt it, and I came out of nowhere and took it back.
Were you the up man?
I was at linebacker.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a great memory.
Yes, sir.
Well, fellas, it's winding down. Hopefully it doesn't. I think I'm the lucky penny now, Coach. You want to pass that down to him, young man? I think I'm the lucky penny, so I'll be at the home game.
Keep coming then, yeah.
That was an absolute blast. What's your favorite memory so far this year? You got one or a couple you share with? Hey, I see the bodyguards are here.
Yeah.
Beautiful bride. And where's the five-year-old, the birthday girl?
She's back there.
I see her again. Saw her at the game last night. And she's having a birthday week.
Yeah, yeah. She's spoiled.
Get used to it.
Right. I don't know if I have one. I love after the games when we get together in the huddle after a win and we're all celebrating and happy. I just love that.
Well, I mean, that emotion. And you guys must like this guy. You play hard for him, and he's a good man and a great mentor.
Well, thank you.
Notice what I got hanging up here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Loud and proud. She asked me why I wasn't going to wear it last night. I said, I work out in it. It still smells. That's my inspiration to work out. Well, I certainly appreciate you guys coming down. You're my adopted team.
Yeah, well, and, thank you, Mike. We appreciate you having us.
Of course. And tell Kerry to keep working hard.
Well, he's working all day today.
I know. I stopped in to get my paper. I saw him. He goes, I'm not going to be down there. I said, well, the show might be better. No, I gave him a bad time. But he's a good kid. Hard, working a double shift today.
Yes, he is.
7-Eleven.
Yeah. We got a lot of hard workers on
you
the
got,
team.
You know what? This is the third time you've been down here. I want to say this as I have before. Very impressed that the young men that have sat across from me, not just because of athletics, but, respectful. And you guys are going to go places in life.
They are.
Just keep working hard and take everything you learn in sports and apply it to life, and you'll kick butt and take names. All right, man.
All right. Appreciate
and,
it.
And, hey, if he kind of slips up in a halftime speech sometime, you can pull me in anytime you want. Well, probably not. I'd be kicked out of it. My language would probably have me kicked out of the stadium. But congratulations, guys, on a nice win on senior night. And like I said, one heck of a football game. And I saw a big difference between Iowa football and Florida football.
We can run, can't we?
Speed.
We got some speed.
We got big horses up north that, go and play in the NFL and tight ends, but nothing like the speed that I saw last night.
Yeah, we got some fast guys.
Every position has speed.
Yeah, every guy here can run.
Hey, how much is your field goal kicker weigh?
He probably weighs 103 pounds.
I was going to say a buck. What's he weigh, a buck?
Yeah.
You got to be careful, man. I look down at that cat, and I'm like, damn, that's the smallest kicker I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I was worried about him on the sidelines. When you guys start celebrating and run into him, you're done. And he's got a nice leg, too.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He's done real well for us.
Does he play soccer?
Yeah, he plays. He's a baseball player, actually.
That kid?
He's a baseball player, yeah.
Is he pretty good?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's a good kicker about that. If he weighs 100, yeah, 103. All right. Yeah, well, we know how at 103, those three are important.
Right.
And those extra points. Yeah. All right, guys.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it, and we'll keep having you down.
All right.
I blocked everybody else out. I'm just a bogey homer from now on.
I appreciate it, yeah.
No more conversation with anybody else. Bogey pride, same colors as my old high school. Brandy's a bogey grad. My girlfriend's a bogey grad. I guess I probably wouldn't have got a degree or graduated from there, but I'll say I did.
Well, we'll take you.
All right.
You.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank
Listen
you.
Listen to Coach, and let's get a W next week.
We will. All right. Appreciate
All right.
it.
You
thank
bet.
You very much.
Yeah, these guys are a special group of guys. Let's pull the bogey graduate into the conversation so that we can raise the bar on this show. St. Pete Sports Connection, I love that stuff. I loved last night, actually, to tell you the truth, as we were able to reminisce on my old Friday Night Live days covering high school sports. That's Roger Warren. And now I can say Hoovy and the St. Pete Sports Connection. I can loudly and proudly say that. Hey, get me a couple pictures over there, girls, for my archives. That was a lot of fun talking to those high school kids and reliving their senior memories. And now we're gonna shift gears, and hopefully we'll carry them over into the 1 o'clock hour as well. And Brandy Winans, you need to come down to a game with me. Use that mic, dear. You need to come to your alma mater. Is the football field still in the same place? Does it go the same direction?
Yeah, it's the same place. They built a new
Turn your mic on, dear.
They built a new stadium.
They built a new stadium after I left.
Well, that was just 15
yeah,
years ago.
Well,
10,
you know.
15 years ago, right? Graduated from high school?
That's because we all destroyed it. That's it.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, your alma mater destroyed their opponent last night. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I've got one more young man. I just want to say hello to Alan. I got one more young man I want to talk to from the high school thing.
Okay.
And I want to throw you on when we go into the three-county reach, if that's okay. I appreciate you coming down, but I want you guys to continue to sit here. But I want to make sure that everybody hears your story in all of
exactly.
the three counties.
Exactly.
Roger, would you go grab that young man we saw earlier that was going to be on? We'll throw him on. We'll talk a little middle school football. He just peeked his head around the corner here. Yeah, what we do is we talk positive stories from the peewees, the preps, to the pros, where you're going to be our pro. And we just got done with preps, and we've got some peewees. We got a middle school conversation that
awesome.
But you can preview while we're waiting. How did you meet Alan? And man,
okay.
What an impressive body of work.
So I was up in Michigan at the M1 concourse doing working with Adobe Road Wines and TRG, the Racers Group, and Alan and his buddy Robert Meyer came over to sample some of our absolutely fine and very expensive wines.
Yeah, she doesn't hang around in company that doesn't have an expensive palate, let's say that.
Anyway, we all started... Exactly, so we started chatting, and he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Florida." And he said, "I'm going to be coming to Florida." And what did he say? Where was he going? He was coming to St. Petersburg. And I went, what?
Perfect timing. All right. So we'll be talking to you in about 10, 15 at the latest.
Yep.
And now I'm going to get this young man on.
Yeah.
We can just slide down there. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. I mean, on and off the air. Some of your escapades in life. Yeah, you put this young man on. We'll just share that mic. I don't think... Well, you know what? He can have that mic. I'll get her going. There we go. Now, I don't want to butcher your name, but I'm going to... Daniel...
Gigantelli.
I was going to be accurate.
You know, it's a little Italian.
Just a tad?
Just a tad bit Italian.
You make a good pie, do you?
The wife does. My grandmother really did.
Oh, I'm certain. Anyway, this young man is... he's the head football coach and athletic director. He wears a couple of hats from Seven Springs Middle School. And I didn't know this coming from Iowa, that there's only a few middle schools in this area. I'm from Iowa, and they're middle school football and all sports across the state.
So, well, a couple of I'm the athletic director and offensive coordinator for Seven Springs. Sitting to the right of me is Scott Love. He's our head football coach
at
Seven Springs. We came
he was
going to
take credit
year.
For it if you weren't here.
He does a lot, so he can take all the credit.
There you go, my man. Make sure that with that mic you talk nice and loudly into it. I just picked that one up on a test.
But yeah, middle school football in Florida basically it kind of it starts in Pasco County, and then all the counties north of us pretty much have middle school football. For whatever reason, the counties south of Pasco don't, and that goes kind of all the way down the state to Miami. There's just not middle school football. No one really knows the rhyme or reason for it, but just kind of geographically how it works out.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Every program needs a feeder system.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you develop your feeder system? You know, like we just had the Boca Ciega kids. Would they have a middle school?
They don't. I mean, they have a middle school, but they don't have a middle school program like that. You know, down in Pinellas County, the youth leagues are very involved. They have programs that go all the way up to the middle school level. Same way we do in Pasco County. But I tell you what's unique about Trinity is how we've embraced
football. And where are you located physically?
We're in Trinity, Florida, which is the very southwest end of Pasco County.
Gotcha.
It's
due north. Remember, I'm from Iowa. Idiots out wandering around.
Yeah, you go due north up McMullen Booth, and you'll run right into us.
Okay.
Right as soon as you cross into Pasco.
And then Tarpon Springs is to the west.
Tarpon Springs is just south and to the west. East Lake is directly below us. There are neighbors directly below us.
And so that's how you know our good friend Coach Ed Schenck then.
That is how, yeah. Well, Coach Schenck, he coached me a little bit in high school. And then
good. You can give Roger and I. What kind of coach was he?
He's a great coach.
Firm but fair.
Very motivational, to be honest with you.
And I can see that.
He coached us a little bit in college also. So he's always been around. He's been all over. Impacted a lot of young men throughout the years, and he still helps me out all the time. Anytime I need some advice, something, I can go to Coach Schenck. He's a good guy.
Now, where did you go to college where he was coaching?
So I went, stayed locally, and then a bunch of us were playing kind of like adult rec league football, semi-pro, whatever they like to call it. But Coach Schenck was coaching the team, and it was a great experience for being, you know, just kind of community college kids, and then eventually over to USF. But, you know, gave us a chance to just keep playing. It was a lot of us who went to high school together and was all kind of local Pasco County kids.
Cool.
Who wanted to keep playing. And
blow your knee out and your insurance coverage doesn't take care of it.
Yeah, I know. But to have a guy who's that good of a coach like Coach Schenck to, like, take on a program like that and to help us at that time was awesome.
I inserted that because my son played collegiate football. And then when he got done, you know, he had a nice high school and college career. And then one of these IFL teams came after him. And he had a business degree, and he says, "What do you think, Pops? $200 a week, I can keep playing." I said, "Did you ask him about insurance?" "Well, there's no insurance." I said, "And you just got this job, so you blow your knee out.
Right.
You can't go to work. I think you just need to hang up the cleats."
Yeah.
And he did. But, yeah, a lot of fun. Okay, now, you're the AD.
Yes, sir.
How many sports do you guys have? I mean, does it mirror high school? You got basketball,
totally.
Boys and girls.
We have boys and girls basketball. We have boys and girls soccer. We have track. We have cheerleading. We have football. We have volleyball.
Probably baseball is what gets lost in most.
Yeah, I agree.
Baseball? And you're the football coach, but you wear other hats too, young man?
Yes, sir. So we're kind of in the loop right now, waiting to see what's going to happen with basketball. I'll help out wherever we need it.
I would think that basketball be a great sport for these middle school kids to get. They're all playing it. It's just to get them into your school.
Sure.
Now, when they come to your school and they're in middle school, what high school will you be feeding into?
Mitchell High School.
Mitchell High School. They're solid.
So you know, I graduated from Mitchell.
So you're the AAA arm. Of Mitchell, right?
We are the AAA arm of Mitchell High School.
It was really in Pinellas County, a lot of kids played youth football, and then they go to their various high schools. And so we've had a youth league, but most kids had to pick between playing youth league football or playing middle school football. And so what we tried to do was eliminate that and say, why can't you do both?
I applaud you for.
Why can't you play with your youth league up and play on Saturdays and play the different competition and then still play, because we have some kids that don't get to play as much on Tuesdays and then maybe can play on Saturdays, or some kids that maybe for some growth get to play on Saturdays that don't get to play on Tuesdays.
And we have 80 kids out for football at our middle school.
Oh my!
So that's a
that's impressive.
It's a lot of kids to try and get playing time in a football game. So we were able to strike a deal with our local youth organization, the Trinity Mustangs, so that we were able to take their middle school age program and run it in conjunction with our middle school program. So it's the same coaching staff, same kids, no extra practices. We practice after school with them, and then we take 35 of them, and they play on Saturdays so they can get a little extra playing time and some more opportunities. And our coaching staff's been great. They come out and coach on Saturdays also, so they're doing Tuesday night games and Saturday games, and it's all in trying to develop these kids and get them ready for Mitchell.
I applaud you guys because one of the things that the St. Pete Sports Connection, and we're emulating what I did up north for about 20 years, positive perspective from the peewees, the preps, the pros. And at your level, it's participation. So you're trying to find other opportunities. Not every one of these kids are going to be football players, but they want to participate in something.
Sure.
And if they have more options, which you're pursuing, I applaud that. And it's important, I think. And many of these kids may not even ever play at the high school level.
Right.
But at least they can say, I got to play a little football.
Sure. And I think the bigger piece for us to make this like a real feeder is Dan and I both went to Mitchell for spring football and both helped during spring football and try to make some of the terminology, some of the verbiage the same so that when
mirror what the varsity's doing.
Right. So that when they go from sixth grade to seventh grade to eighth grade to ninth grade, now you don't have to teach how to line up or formations. We're running kind of the same.
I mean, Coach Andy Schmitz, he's been fantastic. I mean, he, you know, we're on the sidelines on Friday nights helping out, coaching up kids, you know, working the huddle sideline, all that kind of stuff. Our setup there is great too. We practice on one field together, all of us. So everyone's out there. We're bouncing ideas back and forth off of each other.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great community.
And you know what I love about that? And we did the same thing. I went to a private Catholic school. We had CYO, Catholic youth, but ran the same colors.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the same place, so when they got to be in the ninth grade, easy transition.
Sure.
But the young kids, my point is the young kids are looking at those high school kids like, oh my gosh, I want to be that guy when I get older.
You come to a game at Mitchell on Friday night, I mean, it really is special. Like, it's standing room only in the stands.
Biggest game in town.
It is. It's the biggest game in town. And then if you look into the end zone down by the field house, you'll see how many, like about 40 kids running around down there playing football with each other.
Oh yeah.
So Dan's got a son that's six. And he's got twins that are
12,
and I have a son that's 8, and so they're on the sidelines, they're in the end zone, they're running in the same youth organizations, and so it's really kind of a community based where we're just really taking.
What's your mascot?
Well, Mustangs.
Mustangs.
Well, Mustangs.
So everybody wants to. Those kids all want to be a Mustang.
Everyone wants
and
to be a Mustang.
That's what I love. When you have that, and you guys have this, I need to get up there and see that, because that's exactly what happened in Northwest Iowa team. We won state championships, and everybody wanted to be a Crusader.
Yep.
Well, these kids all want to be
Mustang. Yeah, it's
Mustang.
Just a bunch of kids wearing black and gold, running around, playing with
parents,
each other down there.
Parents with black and gold
nights.
Umbrellas from 8 years old that they know they're never going to turn in until those kids graduate.
I applaud you. I'm glad that Coach brought this story here.
What they built there is just awesome, and like I said, I graduated from there in 06 and started my coaching career there. Back when Scott Schmitz, the dad, was the coach, and went off and kind of, you know, learned some things and kind of developed myself as a coach. But when the opportunity came to take over as AD at the middle school, I couldn't wait to get back and really start to take this thing to the next level with the feeder program. I was able to bring some great coaches with me, Coach Love, Coach Lero, Coach Fisher. We have 6 middle school coaches. 5 of us teach at the school, and almost all of us have varsity coaching experience. I've been a varsity offense coordinator the last 7 years. Coach Love's been a varsity football coach for ever and ever, and so we were able to get some
really
good coaches.
He's not that old. This is old. Ever and ever.
He's older than me. But we were able to get some great coaches, so it's a strong group of people leading these young middle schoolers.
Yeah, we've had the community input's been great. The coaches from the youth league asking us questions have been great. Us going to the high school and asking questions.
You know, this has got building that feeder system. No wonder you got such success. Tell me, what class are you guys in? And I'm just getting my toes. I'm dipping my toe in the water. High school sports. I'm going to do more of it. But I still don't understand the number of classes. What
so
classes?
There's eight classifications total.
Okay.
The bigger the classification, the larger the school. So we're class 7A.
So you're a big school.
We're a big school. Yeah. We're Mitchell High School has got 2,600 students in it.
Really?
Yeah, the middle school.
You're bigger than what? I just had Bogey here, City School.
Yeah, we're about 1,600 at the middle school.
The middle school?
Middle school has 1,600 students in
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah. The high school.
You guys are building a powerhouse.
The high school me and him came from only had 1,500 in it. So.
Well, how big a population is Trinity?
It's growing. But I mean,
you're the only school in town, though, right?
We're it. Well, we're the only school in town.
You look at Trinity, and there's, you know, little communities are being built as Tampa goes north. Like, so you got Odessa, you got Trinity. So some of those areas that keep growing. Sun Lake's going to continue to get bigger as a high school. They just opened a new elementary middle school in Starkey Ranch. So that area is just kind of booming right now.
Unfortunately, the only thing that happens then, they start to take these schools with big population, and they put a new high school in there. That happens all over America.
The weird thing, though, with that is because we are basically right on the southern border of Pasco County.
Excuse me one second, Coach. I'm going to welcome our, which is good for our listening audience. I want to welcome our listening audience on our affiliates, and we are now on the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, reaching three counties, Hillsboro, Pinellas, and all of Pasco. And I want to welcome WTAN AM 1340, 106.1 FM, WZHR AM 1400, 104.3 FM, WDCF, say that three times, AM 1350, and 102.3 FM. And reaching all the way up to Brooksville, and all the way east to Lakeland and down to the Sunshine Bridge. So you guys will be able to listen to us, and I'll make sure I get that information to you. Or you can stream on stpetesportsconnection.com. Get all the kids listening from now on and build our audience up there. Maybe we'll make a trip up there someday.
That'd be great. Have you guys up there.
When are middle school games?
Middle school games are on Tuesday nights. Start at 6:30. We got.
I wouldn't mind a Tuesday night trip up there.
Yeah, we got two games left.
Coach Ed Schenck meet me there and buy me dinner.
There you go. We got a lot of good restaurants in Trinity. Some actually pretty cool places, to be honest with you. But yeah, we're this Tuesday is real special for us. We are playing the only other undefeated team left. So we're undefeated. They're undefeated. So it'll kind of be a winner take all type thing.
All right. Well, guys, I know you drove a long ways. But I love you sharing this experience.
Absolutely.
And now that I'm sure the varsity coaches appreciate you beyond belief, building that little infrastructure, that flow of kids that have a passion to want to play and know what they're doing on the field too.
Yeah, they're at our games. The Mitchell defense coordinator, son's on the team, so you know he's at everything and travels everywhere with us and. It's like I said, it's just, I can't say it enough. It's just, it really is a special community. A lot of the guys who coach at Mitchell, they went to Mitchell and graduated from Mitchell. A lot of them played for, Papa Schmitz, Andy's dad, the head coach there now. We've all been very close for a very long time. Our offensive line coach played for Coach Schmitz over at River Ridge before he came to Mitchell. It's definitely a kind of a family feel.
The great thing is that we don't have a lot of ego. Like, everybody's just happy to kind of share, and we all just agree that we're putting this in for the kids. There isn't any reason that kids shouldn't have a chance to be successful, a chance to be to move forward and be as good as they could possibly be. And from our youth leagues to our high school coaches, Coach Smith, Coach Fenton, there really is no ego involved, and everybody's just trying to look out for the best interest of the kids.
Well, you know what, fellas? America needs more young men like you that are helping.
Appreciate that.
Seriously, build our base of young people, and I look forward to following you and hopefully and seeing the success that you breed for Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
All right,
thank
man.
You very much. Hey, appreciate you.
Thanks for
us.
Coming down.
Yes, thanks sir, so much.
Thank you.
All
take
right.
care.
Have a great day. Have a great Saturday, and good luck Tuesday.
Thank you.
All right, Roger, you want to chime in here for a minute?
Sure.
Thanks to you. We were fortunate enough to have Coach get us that nice interview. Well, I'm just going to introduce Roger make an announcement on our deal, and now we're gonna talk to Alan Grant. Well, I made the announcement earlier, but let's officially make it. I'm a Hoovy man.
You are absolutely, and that's at myhoovy.com. That is the streaming service. We're going to be working close with St. Pete Sport Connection, and as well as quite a few other partners that we have been working with. But it is where sports meet lifestyle. So you have a chance for sports. We have lifestyle type programs as well, business related programs. It's just a fun place to be. The word Hoovy is actually a Finnish word for fun, and that's what we try to do with our network there. And we're very, very excited and happy to have sports, the St. Pete Sports Connection, as a big, big part of what we're going to do in our continuing growth.
Well, I'm looking forward to my man. At the end of the show, we'll go into more detail of the diversity that we're going to get involved in, and we'll throw Brandy in the conversation. Cameron made a cameo appearance behind us as well. So I'll talk. I'll have a conversation here with Alan Grant, and then you and I'll finish this up. But I'm excited about you wearing that St. Pete Sports Connection gear too.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, Brandy Wynans, you want to bring over your very special guest now, my dear? You're listening to St. Pete Sports Connection on the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Now, this is the mic that you got to speak loudly into, so I'm going to give you that responsibility. And this is the mic for Alan, and you'll be able to hear my big mouth.
All right, we
got to
turn it on, though.
Yeah, turn it on. Thank you, dear. That sounded kind of weird.
Am I testing?
You're you're loud and clear. Just keep it right by your beautiful face there, and we're good to go. And why don't you introduce Alan Grant. I've looked at his bio, and I'm honored that you actually took the time to come. Well, I know why you did, because she convinced you to.
You're right.
So hold that mic up a little closer, my friend, and welcome to the St. Pete Sports Connection and to Ferg's and St. Pete.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I don't know about honored after you meet me, but honored because Brandy's with us.
You got it.
You guys are too kind, but literally, when I met this guy up at M1 Concourse in Michigan a few weeks ago, it was quite a story when I started hearing his background and the things that he is doing, and the fact that he and his buddy Robert Meyer had flown all the way from Palm Springs area for the M1 Concourse. And I don't know how that actually happened, Alan, but you can fill us in on how you guys were there.
Actually, it was a dual-purpose trip. The M1 Concourse, they just started out a new program. They call it American Festival of Speed. And Jim Hall, who had developed the Chaparrals and was very, very successful, you know, his cars were on display. And so I was invited to be there. But also Jim Farley, the president of Ford Motor Company, who's also a tremendous race car driver. Imagine that, the president of the Ford Motor Company is racing on weekend Cobras and, you know, Mustangs.
That's impressive.
And anyhow, I'm writing a book on my Lola GT, which is the forerunner of the Ford GT. And in the movie Ford versus Ferrari, we can get into that in a little bit. But bottom line, he got me access to the Ford archives. And the guy that is in charge of the entire archives pulled out all these pictures, you know, and all filled a whole table full of information on my Lola, because Ford actually bought my Lola.
Can we go back and you give us a little bit of your bio for my listening audience on the Lola and your years of driving, and then we'll fast forward. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. I grew up in Modesto, California.
Okay.
I ended up, you know, getting into sports cars. I had a good friend that his dad bought him a new MGA, and I was driving a 50 Pontiac, and so he asked me one day, you know, he and a bunch of guys were going to go up in the foothills, you know, and go for a ride, and he asked me if I wanted to ride with him. And so on the way back, he asked me, would you like to drive? And I couldn't believe it, you know. I got behind this MG, and as opposed to my 50 Pontiac, which, keep in mind now, this is a car that's got a big cast iron straight eight out in front, very heavy on the front end. You go into a turn, put on the brakes, you know, and all of a sudden it goes around the corner. Well, I got in this MGA and came to a corner and turned, It actually turned. Cars didn't squeal. The body didn't lean. Put on the brakes and it stopped. And I was hooked. And so I ended up buying a new Austin Healey. And I belonged to this little sports car club called Ikiri AWOL, which is a bunch of young guys. And George Lucas, Star Wars American Graffiti, he was also a member of that club.
And that's when you met George Lucas?
That's right.
How cool is that?
So, anyhow, I got to know him quite well. And then I ended up with my Austin Healey. I could win my class, but I couldn't set fast time of the day. But there was a guy out of Stockton that had an AC Bristol. When he showed up, you know, he could set fast time of the day. So I found an AC Bristol and got it ready. I modified it, and I got to the point where every single autocross it went to, I could set top time of the day and win my class and et cetera. So
this is just a wild guess, but you're a little bit competitive?
I'd say so. Anyhow,
a little bit.
Yeah. Then what happened was is that when I turned 21, back in the day you had to be 21 in order to race. And so I ended up racing the AC Bristol in Northern California and won 12 out of 14 races. And George Lucas went to every single race with me. He was kind of my mechanic. And
George Lucas was your mechanic?
Yes. And
you're giving him directives?
Right.
That's classic.
So anyhow, meantime, you know, my mother was a teacher and I grew up in a very conservative family, you know, and it was always assumed that you would go to college. Well, it took me 3 years to get through 2 years of junior college. In the meantime, my brother graduated with straight A's.
You and I have something in common.
Yes.
That's the only thing, probably.
So anyhow, I decided to go back to college, so I enrolled in Fresno State. In the meantime, I was reading this little magazine called Competition Press, and I've read about Carroll Shelby was going to put a Ford V8 in the AC chassis. Well, of course, I knew the AC chassis inside and out. So during semester break, I went down to Los Angeles, Venice, California, and offered my services to Shelby. Well, Shelby was taken back a little bit, and he said, well, Alan, he says, have you ever raced before? And that was the wrong thing to ask me, because I told him about every race I ever won. And then he finally said, well, Alan, I got Phil Hill, and I got Dan Gurney, and Dave McDonald. I said, I don't need drivers right now, but we're looking for welders. Can you weld? Well, fortunately, part of those 3 years it took me to get through 2 years of junior college, I worked at a welding shop. I was hired as a welder by Carroll Shelby and one of his very first employees. And so consequently, and then they moved me over into the competition shop and ended up being a fabricator, you know, and a mechanic, and ended up going to Sebring, which is right down the road here in 1963, and I was actually Phil Hill's crew chief. And so anyhow, and then I went on, and they found out I had a couple years of college, so they moved me upstairs, and I shared an office right next door to Carroll Shelby's. And I got to know Carroll really well, and part of my new job was to, you know, sell cars to my dealers and also order cars from AC out of England. Well, one day, Coventry Motors called, you know, out of Walnut Creek, California, and they said they wanted to buy a race car. Well, what we were doing at the time, we were actually winning the USRC race series, the Cobra team was, and it was at Ken Miles and Bob Holbert and Dave McDonald. Well, so consequently, every four or five races, we would actually put new cars out in the field, bring the old cars back, rebuild them, and sell them to the public. Well, I told Jay when he called up and he wanted to buy a race car, I said, well, Jay, I only have one available, and I'll sell it to you under one condition. And he says, well, what's that? And I said, I drive it. And it got real quiet. And he asked the wrong question. Have you ever raced before? And so I said, well, you call FCCA in San Francisco. And I was rookie of the year and won 12 out of 14 races, the whole works. I said, furthermore, you got to put up an extra $500 that I want to build a special engine because I want to blow off the factory team. So and then I called Lucas. And Lucas got in his Corvair, came down. I was living in San
Francisco. Corvair. I haven't heard of Corvair in a while.
Yeah. And he slept on my couch in Santa Monica, and he designed a paint scheme. Did he just show you a picture of the yellow car?
Yeah, very impressive.
Yes, and so we got the car done, and our first race was up in Santa Barbara, and so we won both days up there, and then we went up to San Francisco and Candlestick Park. You know, they had a race in the parking lot.
They did? At Candlestick?
Yep. And I won both days up
there.
That's
great history.
Yes. And so consequently, and so then my big race was against a factory at Riverside. Well, being from Northern California, I had never raced at Riverside. And, of course, we had a new engine, and so we didn't qualify good. And so I knew I had to get a good start and so I can get behind Dan Gurney, because Dan Gurney was literally raised, you know, on Riverside Racetrack. And so anyhow, they dropped the flag. Gurney got a good start. I got a good start, went right past Bondurant and Spencer, got up into turn six, and Bondurant was pissed because of the fact I got by him at the start, and he hit me and spun me out, and I had to wait for all 30 cars to go by, and I took off and drove like there was no tomorrow. In fact, the LA Times, when they reported it Monday the next day, and they tell them the story, and he says, and Grant went through the field like a constipated bull. So anyhow, I went from dead last, finished second. In the meantime, Carroll Shelby was watching all this because this was his team. Of course, I was his employee. I wasn't on his team. We were an independent team. And so because of that, you know, he saw that I could drive. And so that was one of the reasons eventually I ended up in Europe and we won the world championship.
Now, is it the Le Mans?
Le Mans, yes.
And did you participate in that ever?
Yes. In fact, have you seen Ford versus Ferrari movie?
Absolutely. Probably a half a dozen times.
All right. Well, basically, my Lola, which is the silver car that you just saw there, which I bought when I went to Europe, I actually went as a driver and a mechanic on the Ford GTs. And so I ended up buying that Lola. Well, when Enzo Ferrari, Henry Ford II, thought he had Ford Ferrari bought, he basically, when he backed out, that really pissed him off. And so consequently, he sent his team to Le Mans. And so, and the sister car to my Lola car was being driven by David Hobbs, a very famous English driver. And they looked and saw the car. And consequently, they said, my gosh, that's exactly what we want. So then he sent his team to England. And they actually met with Eric Broadley, who owned Lola cars and had designed this Lola GT. And they literally put him on a two-year contract, you know, to design the new Ford GT. And so consequently, at the same time, they bought my car and David Hobbs' car. And then basically what Ford did is that they took the two Lolas and they basically ran it through the computer, all the dimensions and stuff like that, and they made some adjustments in the suspension. They wanted some anti-dive and et cetera, you know, in that. And then they tested these cars. And so consequently, you know, the Lola is considered, you know, the progenitor or the forerunner of the Ford GT. Now, initially when I bought the car in 1965, the guy that Roy Lund, who was the project manager, he did not want to give Lola any credit because he wanted to take all the credit. But recently, I say recently, probably 5-6 years ago, I met Edsel Ford and Henry Ford III.
Really?
And Henry Ford III had not heard this story at all. And so consequently, he got all excited about it. And he says, hey, that car needs to be at Pebble Beach because this is 1966. That was 50 years after Ford finished 1, 2, 3 in 1966. They had come out with this new Ford GT, which is a fantastic car, and they were racing at Le Mans, and I was there, and they finished 1, 2.
That was in the movie, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, no, I'd raced at Le Mans. That was filmed that was based on 1966. So I raced the Cobra Daytona Coupe in 65 there. So, I've been down that Mulsanne Straight 185 miles an hour, and I know what it's like.
Oh, my God. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection on the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're talking to the legendary Alan Grant and his life story in racing. And, yeah, I bet watching that movie brought back a lot of memories for you.
It sure did. In fact, I was very fortunate. I was invited to the red carpet showing in Hollywood. And when I first saw it...
Should have taken Brandy. That's the kind of thing she likes to go to.
I didn't even know. I didn't know Brandy.
We didn't know each other then, but that was one hell of a movie.
Yes. But anyhow, I could hardly watch it because I knew Ken Miles personally. I worked with him in the shop. I worked with him in the office. I raced with him. I raced against him. Ken Miles was a very proper English gentleman. You know, and he never would have thrown a wrench, and he never would have slammed that trunk down. He would not have.
So that was all Hollywood.
That was all Hollywood. And so consequently, the worst thing I ever heard Ken Miles say was that, you know, if somebody didn't do something right on the car, his car he was driving, he says he would refer to them as you colonists. You know, because he would...
He would call them colonists?
Yeah, yes.
Americans are colonists. Now, that's old school.
That's right. That's old school.
Oh, my word. Well, I always ask this when I'm fortunate enough to interview someone of your caliber with a great history. Do you have a fondest memory, which is probably difficult to ask someone that has had so many incredible experiences, but do you have one that really stands out to you?
Yeah, it would be that race in Riverside, because I was a little outspoken in the day, and that was about the time Cassius Clay was, you know, running around saying, I'm the greatest, and so I started...
Well, he was then.
Yep. I told everybody in the shop that I was going to blow off the factory team, and they said, oh, yeah, and they used to call me Cassius, you know, and so...
Hey, you backed it up, though, so did Cassius.
Yes. And when Bondurant tapped me and spun me out, my dreams went up in smoke. And so I drove like there was no tomorrow. The English call it, you know, a red mist comes over you. And it's almost like you're in another world. I mean, you take that car.
Energy.
Yes, exactly. And that was, and then go from dead last to first. And then now.
You did?
Yes. Now to second place. Because if it lasted one more lap, I would have won the race. But in the meantime, you know, I couldn't have gotten more exposure if I'd have led from start to finish, because the announcer was taking time, you know, and he gained 5 seconds this lap, and is he going to be able to catch him? You know how they get all excited about it. So
I bet the adrenaline, and I've been in a couple of modified cars in my minimal experience in auto racing, but I bet the adrenaline at any age, it just got to just be phenomenal for you.
Yeah.
And when you look back at those years. And you know, and you had a lot of adrenaline when you're young anyway, but at any age, the adrenaline's just got to be off the charts.
Yeah. You know.
That red fog.
Yep, exactly
red
right.
Fog.
Exactly.
You know, you were talking about the MGA. When I first went out to Cali, I bought a 68 MGC, and they only made very few 6-cylinders, and it was English Racing Green with a tan leather interior convertible, and it was one of my most fun cars that I ever drove.
That was a sweet car and had those big wire wheels on it.
Yep, big wire wheels, and then, you know, it had the scoop on the hood.
Right.
Because it was a 6-cylinder, and most people had never even heard of an MGC.
That's right.
MGC, and I was like, no, it's a bigger engine. They go, no, they only made the MGAs. I went, no, they made it. I don't know how many they ended up making.
I
you
don't
might
either.
Know, but, yeah. And, you know, Alan is here right now because they're writing a story about the Lola.
Oh, really? How impressive is that?
Yes. There's a gentleman that lives just a few, about 15 minutes away. His name is John Starkey.
From here?
Yeah,
yes.
John Starkey.
And he's a very famous author. He's written 4 or 5 books on Lola cars, but he's also written about 25 books, you know, on other races. And he's a racer himself. He raced at Sebring also.
Does he live in Palm Harbor?
No, he's right in South Pasadena, not too far from you, and he's another English chap.
Really?
In fact, it might be nice.
Would you want to hang around with those colonists?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Have a couple of pints.
Right. There you
have
go.
A couple of pints with the colonists down at Ferg sometime.
Yeah. Can we have it cold instead of warm?
Yeah. No, well, Ferg said when he started this, he served warm beer and cold food.
Yeah. Right.
And he's lasted 29 years, so must be something about that warm beer, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it was always a small world when all of a sudden he said, where are you from? And when we were up at the M1 concourse, I said, Florida. He goes, well, I'm going to St. Petersburg. And I'm thinking, well, that can't be a coincidence. I mean, he's coming to St. Petersburg to see another writer. And I just, you know, immediately thought, well, we got to get you on St. Pete Sports Connection. We got to get you down here and talk about. When I Googled him, I really had no clue how famous this man was until I Googled him.
Well, neither did I. And I thought, just another one of the things that this lady astounds me all the time, someone that she knows. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this guy is the real deal.
I always wondered, you know, I could just see you and George Lucas kind of driving.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask a couple questions.
And I know this photo right here, but are you still in touch with George? And is George into racing as well? It still?
You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, George...
we're not talking about the Lucas oil empire. We're talking about man himself,
George Lucas. Star Wars.
Yeah.
California.
Oh, my word.
He was really a car guy. In fact, this is a picture of George when he was 18 years old, and I was 22 at Santa Barbara. That was our first...
I bet the women were chasing you, fellas.
Well, it... sometimes you need to get caught.
That's part of the game, right?
Anyhow, it was wonderful. But George, you know, he was actually, his dad had bought him a little Fiat Bianchini. This is a little Fiat that Bianchini kind of modified to, you know, to kind of look a little better. And so anyhow, he joined a club. Well, he ended up rolling the car. And so we ended up cutting the top off, putting a roll bar in it. And George wanted to be a race car driver. But then he had a terrible accident. He ended up, you know, getting broadsided, you know, going 50.
I remember that accident. Yes.
Yes. And so that kind of, you know, so he decided, you know, to go into movies and stuff like that. But
not a bad decision.
No. He made the right decision. Anyhow, bottom line, that George, you know, and it was in 1989, George wanted to get his competition license. In fact, he was dating Linda Ronstadt at the time, and he had a motorhome up in Sears Point. And so he invited me to come up and be with him as he went through driver school. And so consequently, we decided that we wanted to actually get a race, put together a race car team. And so we actually developed the Lucasfilm race car team. We bought two Formula Ford. Formula cars, and there was a series out of Canada that actually paid big money, and so we ended up hiring his mind slipped me, I'll think in a second, but anyhow, he ended up winning the IndyCar championship several years in a row. So, but our goal was is to, you know, to run the 2000s and then run Formula Indy Lights, and then get into Indy cars. Well, George was so busy, he never made it to a race. And the guy we had running the team was a good mechanic, but, you know, I was having to fly from California back to Toronto, you know, at least once a month and bring the money back and pay the guys and make all the arrangements, et cetera, et cetera. So we decided to put the project on hold, and it's still on hold.
Well, I heard another rumor that I think it might have been you that told me that one of the characters from American Graffiti was based off of Mr. Alan Grant.
Yes, ironically, you know, George in the mid-80s authored by the name of Dale Pollock to write his biography of his life up to that point in time. And it's called Skywalking. And... So anyhow, in the book itself, you know, he asked George, he says, George, do you ever project yourself in any of your characters in your movies? And George says, well, not consciously, but subconsciously, I probably can't help it. But, and then he says, well, what about John Milner in American Graffiti? See, American Graffiti was based upon us dragging 10th Street in Modesto. Remember, I had my
empty
Pontiac.
Really?
And so
consequently,
John Milner basically ended up, you know, with a yellow 32 Ford, yellow.
Oh, yeah, I remember vividly.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah, and he says, no, he says, that was my friend Alan Grant. I always wanted to be like him.
That's a great story. Now you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to tell us.
The story, that's
one
right.
of my favorite broadcasters of all time.
Unbelievable.
Well, as I said, this is the St. Pete Sports Connection on the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're broadcasting on seven stations across the greater Pinellas, Pasco, and Hillsboro reach. And perfect timing to have a guest of this caliber to share his life with us and the incredible stories, Alan Grant. And I got to thank you, Brandy, for bringing this caliber of a guest who's this gracious to share these. These are cool stories. You know, I mean, your accomplishments in the racing world are unbelievable. But just the cool stories that you've had in your lifetime.
Yeah, I'm honored. I'm honored that he agreed to come down. I wasn't sure if he could do a phone, and then we were talking yesterday, and then they said, we're going to come up.
I got this figured out, Alan. It's the beauty of brandy.
Hey.
If a schlub like me asked you, you'd say, maybe next time I'm in town, partner. I wasn't born yesterday. Great job. I got to get you out there more often. No, but we like to have a lot of fun down here. It's obvious you like
we
to have
do,
a lot of fun.
We do.
You've had fun all over the world in
yes,
your racing career.
I've been very blessed.
Hey, you remember this lady?
I sure do. Well, hi. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
He's got all the gals hanging on him.
Julie, Mike Ricker, Julie just Julie was my partner in crime at M1 Concourse up in Michigan. Was, I drug her up there, and she did.
Who was at the Jazz Fest with you? Who was that? You at Jazz Fest?
Yeah.
Heard you had a little spill.
She had a little spill. We tripped over a piece of rubber.
Oh my!
A little closer to your mouth, there, dear.
She tripped over a piece of rubber when going to the bathroom, and then she didn't come back for a while, and then she came back and told me this funny, cute little story, and I just thought, oh, then I find out that all these people, she fell so hard that all these people had to pick her up, and then she's showing me, she said, I think I have a rug burn, and then by the time we started dancing, the Kool and the Gang was playing, I looked over, and she goes, looks down at her arm, and her arm looks like she has a giant hematoma coming out of it. Like a giant hematoma. Oh, my God. So we went to the paramedics, got some ice, and it looks so much better today.
I'm glad that you could make it down here, dear. Now he's got his own St. Pete harem.
Yes.
There you go.
Hello.
All right, so you told us the coolest, besides your good buddy George Lucas, in all of your travels, you've met some very influential people. Who made the biggest impression on you outside of the racing world in your worldly travels? That's a tough question, but
that's a tough question. I was going to say Carroll Shelby, but obviously Carroll Shelby was in the racing world, and Carroll Shelby was not only my boss; we ended up being good friends. In fact, we stayed in contact. You know, until I talked to him 2 weeks before he died, and I learned an awful lot from Carroll. As far as who's, well, this guy right next to me here, this is Mark Willard, and he is an Englishman also.
Oh, well, we'll be having a pint later then, huh?
We will. As long as it's warm, I'll drink it with you.
With a colonial?
I probably can do that, yes.
Well, I'm glad.
Anyhow, Mark is, we met because Mark ended up... with a Cobra, and so through it, I was able to meet him, and then we, he invited me over to their house, and we became fast friends. In fact, I've adopted him and Stephanie, as my son and daughter. And so, anyhow, he's got a very nice little.
I'm his historian, really. So I have everything about Alan going back to the very first time he decided to race, all of his race records. He raced with a pseudo name because he was too young and they wouldn't give him a license. He's beaten everybody and everything.
See, you've been a rebel your whole life.
Yes.
Maybe that's what I liked about him, two rebels.
You drink shots of tequila like she does?
I sure can. And I sure will.
I sure will.
All right, well, I tell you what, this has been superb. I appreciate you taking time, and appreciate you bringing him up here to Ferg Sports Bar. Have you ever been up north here to Ferg's?
We just moved here from San Diego. We live in Sarasota.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you got to make more trips up here, I assure you that.
Definitely will. He's got a little boat, too, that he's going to be shipping down here that's a little 60-foot yacht, and so, obviously... I'll be spending a lot of time here.
Do you need a janitor on
sure.
it?
Sure.
Yeah. I'll come down and bring my bucket and my rags.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll be your crew. The St. Pete Sports Connection crew.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, there we go. We'll do a show live from the yacht.
There you go.
That would be kind of cool, actually.
It would.
And it's really nice to meet his beautiful wife.
If you turn up, we'll be
too.
There.
Okay, that'd be cool. We actually could do it on our new Hoovy channel. We could do a live from a yacht video show. That'd be really cool in Sarasota.
Yes, it would.
All right. Well, Alan, Grant, I tell you what, man, this has been. I've got a list of the coolest interviews I've had, and you're right there with them.
Thank you.
From Arnold Palmer to guys that are still around, the Bob Costas of the world. This is right up there because you've lived a cool life, man.
I've been very blessed.
Yes, you have. All right, well, enjoy Florida, enjoy St. Pete, and I want to see that tequila shot with my girl here.
Only one?
Well, I don't want to get a call in the middle of the night. Can you come pick me up? Yeah.
What do you mean you don't want to get a call? You lie.
No, she's like my big sister. Yeah, it'd be like going bailing your big sister out of a jam.
Yeah, right.
That's it. Thank you, Alan, so much today. And Mark and Steph for bringing him up. And we'll get together later for a little barbecue. And we just appreciate you so much. And good luck with the book. And we'll have to get Mr. John Starkey on here,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Well, that'd be fabulous.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yes. Very good, and thank you so much.
All right, my friend. Thanks very much. Look forward to further conversations, and this has been a blast.
Yep. Thanks, Alan.
Well, Brandy, you outdid yourself again, dear.
Huh?
You outdid yourself. This is amazing.
It was just totally the man upstairs, I'll tell you.
Well, it typically is in our world.
Blessing.
We've been winging it for over a year.
Yeah, we've got Mr. Roger Warren here. We've got Mr. Cameron Wembley. And we're going to finish out the show with them today. But I'm going to give you the headset real quick. Roger, I'm going to say goodbye to my buds here.
All right, you're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on the St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm going to do a little plug for Super Squares. The world's first football game show that puts you in the game. Get the free Super Squares app from the Apple and Google Play stores. Register once and pick up the NFL games you plan on watching. Playing is as easy as 3-2-1 kickoff. Make three predictions before the kickoff. Answer two quiz questions, and this is about the brands in the app, and get your first Super Square. I played Super Square several times, and it's a blast. We're going to have a St. Pete Sports Connection suite, and we'll explain that to you, where you'll be able to participate along with everybody that listened to the St. Pete Sports Connection. And we'll be talking about our Hoovy Network, and we'll be getting those people involved as well. And you can win well over $2 million up for grabs every weekend. It's the biggest, largest prize pool of any free-to-play app or even TV game in America. That's right. It's free because the brands that fund the massive prices appreciate your attention while playing. So Super Squares pays millions, but all you pay is attention. Well, my friend, talk loudly into that mic because I'm having a couple of mic issues here.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Talk as loud as you can there. Talk a little bit about Hoovy and the direction we're heading.
All right, fantastic. In Hoovy, and our site for that is myhoovy.com. And Hoovy is a streaming service. We do everything from sports. We go all the way to lifestyle. We have business shows. We have fun shows on there. And we have a whole channel that's dedicated to cars and guitars. So I'd love to us to be able to work something out here as well with these cars and the driving and the racing.
Cars and guitars. I like that, bro. I like that, brother.
So we've got and
bars, cars, and guitars.
Well, we got another one that has to deal with the bars part of it. But yeah, absolutely. But myhoovy.com, we are newly branded on that. We were WeBeam TV, which is still active and still a part of it. We've just made it a little bit stronger. We just launched as of yesterday. So if you go to myhoovy.com, you're not going to see a lot right now, but keep coming back. It is growing. We're going to be doing a lot of things with St. Pete Sports Connection on there. It's going to be fantastic. We are the official broadcast partners of the NAL, which is the Orlando Predators, they play a part of that National Arena League, and hoping to grow into many other arena leagues as well to give them a better place to put their games on, so many, many more people will have the opportunity to see it across the country and the world, actually. We like to say we have interstellar views because we actually have the space station
that goes onto our WeBeam TV channel and watches our Nerd Talk show that's on there. So it's a fantastic things that are happening for Hoovy, and we're very, very excited about what our future holds. So be looking out for all the things that are coming out.
Well, and that's going to catapult the St. Pete Sports Connection, as we talked about. We're going to be doing live shows upstairs here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill with our own studio, and we're going to do everything from golf to we're going to do Burning Rubber Radio. We're going to do a soccer report with the Rowdies and the world of soccer. Prep Connection, you know, we had a nice entry into today with Boca Ciega in the middle school coming from Mitchell. And those are the kind of stories we're going to share to people. And then when we get high caliber interviews with the people like we just had, the Alan Grants of the world, Cameron Wimley down here, the former FSU standout and friend of the show. And future's so bright, we got to wear shades, brother.
Oh, yeah, it's really great. I mean, when we really see what where Hoovy's going at myhoovy.com and what we've got and where we're bringing things, we have three studios. We have one that's, as we just mentioned a moment ago, that's going to be right here at Ferg's. It's going to be upstairs. We have studios in the Port Richey area, and we have studios in Orlando. So even if you're a business and you're looking for an opportunity to put your name out, your business, explain your industry better, we can set up weekly shows for you as well at any of our studios. So feel free at any time to reach out. You can actually reach out to me by email. It's Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at myhoovy.com. We'll be glad to speak with you further about that as we discuss more of what's going and how MyHoovy, which is our Hoovy, is going to start some great things. And a lot of the sports side of it, we're going to see it right here at St. Pete Sports Connection as we continue to grow.
As I said, each and every Saturday we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And right now, come on down if you haven't been here. Every television is on all 95 of them. Big game for you today, Alabama and Mississippi State.
It's a big game.
We have a little wager. I gave you 28 points like a buffoon when the spread is only 17.5. But that's a caliber of game that will be done. We have Alabama watch party, Auburn watch party, Michigan watch party, and then, of course, we've got the University of Iowa, who kicks off at 3:30 against Purdue today. So that's just some of the action you'll be able to see down here.
And just so you know, Mississippi State did beat Texas A&M. And who was that Alabama lost to? Texas
A&M. A&M, brother.
So 28 points, I think that's a pretty, pretty safe bet.
Yeah, well, yeah, for you.
For me, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Let me grab that mic for a minute. I'm just experimenting here. So, as I said, we're on the St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. And I want to give you some of the games that we will have down here. Oh, you'll be able to come down for every one of the the college and the pro football games the entire weekend. Your favorite teams are on. All you got to do is ask one of the servers, and they will make certain that your game is on that television in front of you. And you're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection on our St. Pete Sports Connection radio network, having a conversation with Roger Warren from Hoovy. Cameron Wembley's here, as they mentioned. Brandy Winans, who did a superb job bringing Alan down here, and I mean a friend of George Lucas. And you would think with auto racing, it might be a different Lucas member, but the fact that it's George Lucas, the filmmaker.
Unbelievable. I mean, literally unbelievable to run into him and his buddy Robert Myers, who had flown in from Palm Springs. Just unbelievable. So, yeah, anytime anybody wants to Google Alan Grant, just Google him, because if you Google Alan Grant or you say Alan Grant Cobra, his whole life will come up on the internet. And what an interesting, interesting man.
Well, the St. Pete Sports Connection, of course, has some great alliances, and one of them is with the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And they're moving the enshrinement till 2022. And that is Al Leiter, Roberto Longo, Dwight Stevenson, Ed Reed, Alonzo Mourning, and Bill Diaz. And we'll make an announcement on when that will take place. And that's going to take place down in Doral, but also we'll have one in Tampa as well. And I'm looking forward to our participation in that. Let's talk a little bit about that arena football agreement that you're working on.
In the last year, arena football is making its way, really coming back strong. The NAL, the National Arena League, which the Orlando Predators, my hometown team, is a part of, and they have been their viewing of their games have been on YouTube, and not that there's anything wrong with it at all, but you're just not getting the viewership that they really want, the promotion, and so they've come to us. We've decided to be the one. We're going to take all of their games. It's going to be broadcast their own channel. Each of the teams will have their own channel on there. So if you are a fan from any one of those, any one of the 12 teams that are part of the NAL, you can watch their game whenever it's played that week. And then there's going to be shows that will be done throughout the week, as well as discussing the NAL and what's going on with that area of that. And we want to get people out there to see it and then get them to the actual games themselves to be able to understand and see. And the beauty of Hoovie is you can be in the stands watching the game on your phone or your iPad or whatever while you're watching the game there as well, so you can get and hear everything while it's there. So it's absolutely a fantastic. We're excited about what we're doing. That's not going to be really happening until next June when the next season comes up, but we'll be putting a lot of stuff together before that. So if anyone's on myhoovie.com, on the NAL channel, they'll start seeing shows that we'll start putting together and maybe even show some replays of games from the past on there as well to really catch up and see your favorite team and how they're performing.
Hey, I want to thank our printer, Ace High Printing. He's done a great job with our sign here. Ace High Printing, Rick Herbert, the official printer of St. Pete Sports Connection and RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM. Give Rick a call, 727-542-3897, and he'll take care of all your printing names. Another great day down here in St. Pete.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Every time I come to St. Pete, it's beautiful. I almost want to get a place over here now that we're working so closely together here and in just really much all of Tampa Bay. It would almost kind of make sense to have something over here to keep coming back, because it is definitely beautiful on this side of the. I actually live on Melbourne Beach on the other side. And, the weather, I mean, things are great there, but, you know, it's beautiful over here with Fergs, that's no doubt.
Well, you know, as I open up the first hour, I better open up the second hour and talk about the same thing a little bit. Tonight, just remember, it's Red Sox-Astros, and then it's Braves-Dodgers, and that's the Major League Baseball matchups. And then all of the NFL games, as I mentioned, will be on down here. The Bucks already took care of business on Thursday night, and so they won't have the watch party. Tonight is the Lightning. That'll be a watch party down here. Every Lightning game has a watch party, and the Bucks do. And then, of course, you'll be able to watch all the college games down here all day long. A couple of things of note, as I mentioned. In golf, on the tee, the SAS Championship in Cary, North Carolina. Take a look at that. John Daly, JD, I claim him from Clearwater, and his son. He played golf up there at Clearwater. He's now down at Arkansas. Scott Parel is leading that by one stroke. Nelly Korda is ranked number one in the world, and her sister Jessica is 19th. And they're from Bradenton. And I tell you what, they don't get enough plugs on the local conversations, but think about it. Number one in the world, Nelly, and then her sister Jessica is 19th. That's pretty impressive right down there in Bradenton. And then the CJ Cup in Vegas at Summit has some notables in the hunt, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, and Roy McIlroy. And Keith Mitchell's just four ahead in that field. And I think some of those notables will be making a run. Am I keeping you up, buddy? You worked hard. You worked hard. You drove over here. And that was a nice conversation I had with the Boca Ciega kids recounting there. Do you remember your senior night back in the day?
No, I do. It was a long time ago, but I
everybody remembers it.
It was, I remember during the football season and played and what we did. I'm from Central Mississippi. It is a
football area. So, you know, Friday nights, everything shuts down. Everyone goes to football games. And just being out there playing and the excitement and have – I know we were 5-5, so we won 5, we lost 5. But we went out and gave it our all every week. And, you know, it was some – I can tell you I had some exciting times into it as a tight end, you know, the catches I made, the blocks, the hits.
You still remember them at our age. I'm a lot older than you, but you still remember those things. That's the bizarre thing. And I was trying to impress these kids, and they loved saying their favorite play in their young lives. And I wanted to say, I'm 64, and I can still remember my favorite play, and so can you. But senior night was emotional. You know, you're out there with your parents, and it's your swan song. And a lot of kids don't realize that that chapter in our life's over with. They can play a little flag football, a little touch, but participating in football is going the way of a memory in their lifetime.
Oh yeah, I mean, and they should always look back at what happened during this time, because there's so much that plays into their future growth and what they've learned and what they've done, how they developed through that. And football played a big part in it, and it did a big part in my life, I know that's for sure.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about on the St. Pete Sports Connection each and every Saturday. We're going to expand this this audience, and from the peewees to the preps to the pros, a positive perspective, and those are the type of things that we want to emphasize. And now with our relationship launching our video channel, you're going to see a lot of positive content as we go around. In fact, if you're listening and you have a team and a coach you want to come down to us, just send us an email. Brandy will reply to you. stpsportsconnection@gmail.com. We want content. We want great stories. We're not concerned about your record, wins and losses. We just want to recognize your school, your kids, your community for doing something positive that benefits the youth of America. And I think that's one of the things you really dug about our message here too, is you've met a lot of pros, but we're also reaching down and making sure that they make an impression on our youth.
I mean, the youth are these are the future leaders of our country. You know, we want to make sure that, I mean, it is so great to see the professional player who comes and be able to talk to and hear their story, but to hear the story of these young kids and what they're doing and how they put out and where they see themselves going. And you see, you know, with so many of these that have bright futures, I mean, they've already got things set. You know, a lot of them, and, you know, that's the other thing, and I know I've talked about a lot here, is Sports Thread, which gives these young kids that opportunity to get to that next level by being able to download that, put their information out, and get it to everyone.
Well, in fact, we need to get that set up on the websites and all of our St. Pete Sports Connections, Facebook, as far as all of our social media, making sure we're highlighting Sports Threads, as well as our relationship now with Hoovy. And what's Hoovy stand for in Finnish?
It is fun.
And we want everybody to have fun when they listen to the St. Pete Sports Connection, and to have fun all weekend long. And so there goes my favorite family. Thanks for coming to Ferg's. And thanks for having a great son brought onto the planet, and a big brother. No, you're the uncle. You're the uncle. You could be his brother. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's that. That's coach and of the Boca Ciega Pirates, their entire family down here. And that's what it's all about. All right. So, one last plug. Mark Ferguson and Fergs won the Sports Bar of the Year in the Bay Area and Wings. And that was just announced. So we're live from there. And for Alan Grant, Brandy Winans, the Boca Ciega Pirates, Roger Warren, and Joe Berdrow on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanking you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a great weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship weekend.